Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I am joined by Jim Donnan and, of course, Dane Young. We got Coach Donnan here so we can pepper him with questions about G-Day. I can give him all my bad observations, and he can correct me. The best part of the show is him going, "You don't know what you're talking about." And I really don't compare to Coach Donnan. I thought I knew football until he started joining the show, and I realized how little I know. But, hey, at least I can admit not everybody in this industry can do that. And we're so thankful to have Coach Donnan on the show to kind of answer our questions and to give his observations on G-Day. And, Coach, we could talk about Carson Beck. We could talk about Mykel Williams. We could talk about some of the guys we know. But I've hounded you on this to always talk about the newcomers. I always want to talk about the new guys. It's this shiny, bright object for the Georgia football team, for the Georgia fan base. Let's talk about the new guys. And I know you like your established guys, and you know that the games are won by the players who do their jobs correctly with, you know, they do it fast. They do it right. And, you know, the flash in the pan is not where all the sizzle is. It's, you know, the offensive line. That's going to be who wins games for you. But we got to talk about the new guys, and I hope you'll indulge me in that. I'm going to lead off with Trevor Etienne. I thought that he had a phenomenal day. Just that first run he had, that burst when he took off, catching some passes over the middle, and I just got very excited about Trevor Etienne. And we saw that Andrew Paul went into the portal, so Georgia's down one running back. But if Trevor Etienne is healthy, I like Georgia's chances.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely get into Trevor in just a second. But the one thing I want to point out that I really feel like is saying here for our fans is our coach is really has a good plan for a spring game. I mean, we've seen all these different ways people do things, but to put the number one against number one out there just goes to show you that they're not worried about guys getting hurt. Certainly they're concerned about it, but they want to see how they react to the stress factor of playing one versus one and putting the best versus best. And that's why this program is where it is. I mean, every day they're doing that. And you got a chance to see that, particularly at the end of the game when, the game was on the line. Everybody was still trying to win and had that spirit about them. So I just think, to me, just very fortunate to have a coach that develops players the way he does and the way we work at it. And it was very emblematic of it the other day, the organization and the kicking game, the lack of penalties, everything about it. But as far as Trevor, certainly he presents a real challenge for the defense because the way our offensive formations are set up, we can set up some different plays that give you an imbalance of where the defense is based on run or pass or whatever it might be. And he's got the quickness and acceleration to get to that second level probably as good as anybody we've had since, maybe Swift, Cook, but Swift for sure. And that just puts so much pressure on the defense because your quarterback's an NFL talent. They can throw the ball down the field. You got good rush protecting people up front. And his ability to catch the ball will be good because if you think about McIntosh going back over the middle on checkdowns and making explosive plays or Cook lining up, that really is a real plus for our team. And then, of course, Roderick Robinson showed the power and the ability to catch the ball. And I hate that Andrew has hit the portal, but you can understand, with who we got coming in and the fact that, he has a shoulder issue. He's I don't know what they're going to do about it, but he hasn't been able to pass protect all of last year and all the spring, and they had to use him sparingly. I don't know if he's going to get his labrum repaired or what, but it's certainly an issue for him, and I hope that he can get it fixed in time to really play because he's an outstanding player, so I hate to see him go. But we're going to see more of that as all this stuff unfolds. But I don't want to talk too long about one thing, but I do want to hit these questions because that's one thing I feel like I can do is give you a pretty good appraisal of where these guys are and where they're going to fit in.
I have a follow-up, though, Coach, on the running back room, because this is the first season that Georgia under Kirby Smart will not have Dell McGee as the running backs coach. I know ultimately all decisions in terms of who plays and when you rotate and all of those things, ultimately that funnels up to Kirby Smart. But with it being a new running backs coach for the first time in this tenure, does that change how this room is structured a little bit and their expectations?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what the chain of command is about who goes in and what. Obviously goes through Bobo and also Coach Smart, but you want your coach to have the initiative to move guys in and out of the game and things like that. And they wouldn't have hired this guy if he wasn't capable. And everything I've watched, watching him in spring practice and the drills he did and his ability to, work on the field, I was impressed with him. I think he's very organized, a detailed guy, and he's a good recruiter. And he's got a lot of help there, you know, with veteran coaches on the staff to teach him the offense and all that. So I think it'll be kind of a seamless transition. Although we're going to have three new freshmen coming in to play. And another guy that just makes you feel good about his ability that I thought was going to be pretty good, but I've got him rated higher now than I did coming in as Chauncey Bowens.
My next question.
Guy that can make the pile move and catch the ball, has understood the offense and fit in pretty quickly. And then you add Nate Frazier and this other kid that's really fast coming in from over in Atlanta. And so we're going to have a very competitive room there, you know, to see who's going to do what if we don't lose anybody else to the portal. You know, I think Cash Jones was hurt Saturday. We didn't get to see him. He's a very talented guy too, that tremendous on special teams, great third down back, and hope he sticks around. I don't know why he would leave. He's really a big part of our team, but you know, you guys want to start too. So, but we've got a good situation there.
Yeah, my notes have Chauncey Bowens as a player. So just watching him run it, he was good. I thought Rod Robinson had a good day, but we know where we're getting with Rod. Although, we're talking about new guys, that looked to me like a new and improved Rod Robinson, catching passes, and he just looked lighter on his feet, but still.
Yeah, I think, you know, he came in the first year a little bit overweight, but, you know, he's got good quickness to go with that size, and he's very powerful and hard to bring down, and he's always shown some ability to catch the ball. They just haven't had the plays to do that. But the one thing we talk about in the spring that I think another part of our philosophy is to establish as many open field plays as we can to see how the defense tackles in space, but also avoid the big pileups where you get injuries, you know, guys getting stepped on or knees getting twisted and all that. And when you run the ball a lot, then those things happen. And so that was another good reason to maybe open it up a little more, but then evaluate Gunner and some of these other receivers too. But Roderick really has been a guy that has given our defense a good look while he's been waiting his turn. But he's been going down there and being on the scout team some, and also, you know, just twos and threes versus the twos. He's been impressive.
I was very impressed with him. I was very impressed with the, just like you said, the fact that they went one versus one for 60 minutes. I mean, it was two versus two, but you, even at the very end, you were still going with your best guys. In years past, Carson Beck would have been done after what, three or four series. Mykel Williams would have been pulled after a couple series. You know, you're not going to have Tate Ratledge climbing to the second level where he laid out an inside linebacker. It's like, look at these younger guys, but they went at it hammer and tong. Hour, and I mean, even the broadcast guys are like, that's not something you normally see. Murray pointed that out. He's like,
well, I would have been done. The thing that helped though was the running clock. It gave the semblance of a game, but you know, it really wasn't near as many plays as we would have in a scrimmage or a practice. Like Kirby alluded to, this was the easiest day these guys had all spring. So your point, I agree. It was good to see that competition, but it was just enough to wet your whistle, but not enough to make you, you know, worry about having too many plays. I don't think they ran that many plays.
Yeah, it was. I guess the defense kind of was won't say clued in, but they knew they were going to throw the ball a lot more. So those guys maybe tended towards knowing there's going to be some balls going to be in the air a bit. But, hey, they still completed a ton of passes, and both quarterbacks look great. I thought, going back to some of the newcomers, it was very interesting to me watch some of the offensive linemen who are already on the second team, Daniel Calhoun. I say Jamal Merriweather, he's not a new guy, but you pointed him out a while back. Malachi Tolliver was out there. Some new faces on that second team defense.
Yeah.
I mean, a second team offensive line.
You know, I think the point about our line that we talked about throughout the recruiting process was the fact our line was going to be so much better because the younger guys weren't going to be called on to play really big roles right away because both Truss and Ratledge came back to really fortify that offensive line where you're only going to have one guy that's a new starter and he's a human rocket at center, you know, Wilson. And I always enjoy our the things that you put out on your website. Occasionally something strikes my manner a little bit, but Jed May had a report on Sunday about the what we had over there at the Rivals camp in Atlanta and was talking about Wilson's brother, who has a different name because he has Dean. The same mother but a different father, Dean, how good he was picked as the number one lineman in the camp, and he's just going to be a junior, and he's from North Carolina too, with some of the same traits that we have with Wilson. So I'm just glad that we're able to have some of these brothers follow in the footsteps of the brothers, and that'll be great.
Hey, there's an offensive tackle, Okobogo, whose older brother is on the team now, and he came to G-Day, and he's like, yeah, it's great to see my name on the back of a jersey out there, and my brothers, you know, recruit me, and we go head-to-head sometimes. I'm like, okay, give me that big Okobogo in the middle of the defense, and his younger brother is an offensive tackle. This works. You want to bring in Dean and Wilson together?
What year is he? His brother, Okobo. What year is that kid?
2026.
Yeah. Well, hey, you talking about a guy to get your motor running, 99. I mean, that guy can run now. He can flat out. He reminds me of, from the standpoint, you know, Stackhouse ran the 100 in the high school, and this guy is among the fastest D linemen on our team. I mean, he's right up there already with on some of his GPS stuff, and he's just a young pup. He's going to really get bigger and stronger. And I was glad to see everything they did all spring. He really looked good.
This is a sneaky question. It'll lead to one that is more about the roster and what's going on. But, Coach, a lot of people have coached brothers. You coached triplets with the Luckies. That experience, what's that like to have three of them at the same time?
Well, it's one thing to have three of them, but have three of them that all can play is even better. You know, sometimes you talk about twins and you get a calf and a cow. I mean, one is okay and the other one's not. But in the sense of Coach Goff got the Lucky triplets in here, and we were just ecstatic. You know, all three of them had the center and the outside linebacker, inside linebacker. Unfortunately, Mike got hurt and didn't get to play as much, and we had some really good linebackers at that point. And talking about that, I want to give my deepest condolences to one of my favorite players here. All of my guys are favorite, Will Witherspoon. Was a tremendous player for me and played in the pros like almost 12, 14 years as a linebacker. Lives in St. Louis and he lost his dad this week. So deepest condolences to Will. But, hey, you talk about brothers, you know, that one year we had an unbelievable situation where we had Champ Bailey's brother coming in, Boss. We had Edward's brother coming in, Terrence for Robert. And then Matt Stinchcomb's brother, John, coming in. And I told our coaches, I said, look, you know, at that point, we weren't a real stalwart team and everything. We were trying to build. I said, we got no credibility if we can't get these three brothers. I mean, we have to get these brothers. And we were fortunate, and all three of them turned out to be outstanding. And but that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing a lot of these guys surface, and some of them played with Kirby, which is great. You know, I mean, he's got an in right away with them, so that's good to see.
You mentioned Joseph Jonah Adjoye, number 99. I wonder if he's got a brother. Because to your point, he came through and he had a sack, and that was impressive.
Yeah, that was what I thought I was saying. I can't – he had 95. I get him. One of them is pronounced one way and one's the other. I thought we were talking about 99. So 95's got a brother.
That's what you were. You were 99, Joseph Jonah Adjoye. He JJA, as people call him. He was thought it was great, especially there was a goal line play where he just destroyed the
that's the one I was talking about that's got the great GPS numbers.
I would assume him. I mean, if that's that's my guy.
Who's the one's got
95 is Namadi Ogboko.
He's the one's got the brother then. Okay, I got him mixed up.
Yeah.
But my bad. But
no, you were right. You were dead on. I was just saying, because you just mentioned 99, I want to mention for some people like me who don't have their numbers down, he's in my notes as 99, JJA, poor left guard. So that's what my notes say about it. He came in and blew him up. I thought Xavier McLeod also had a good day, Coach.
Yeah, talking about the philosophy, too, of going against each other. And I talked to a couple coaches after the game, and it's hard to really do anything creative against your own team because you've done not only the 11-on-11, but you've done the individual drills against these kids. You've done the teamwork drills, 7-on-7, a half line. And there's really not anything that they have recognition-wise that the defense hasn't seen. So you don't have that advantage of, you know, a little bit of creativity, and you don't want to show anything new because Clemson's your first game and everything. So defense should do pretty well in covering everything because they've seen it so many times. And then you add the athleticism that they have to that knowledge of what they're trying to defend. So for us to move the ball, when I say us, for Georgia to move the ball like they did was pretty good considering the defense knew what was coming so much.
Coach, me and Roddy can't say us. You can say us because you were on the team. You coached the team.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to. I like to say our team, and all, but when I meant us, I didn't want to think I was pulling for the offense versus the defense or anything like that.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I was pulling for both of them, but
– but more for the offense. It's okay. We know you're biased.
I like to see the some of those individual plays. For instance, K.J. Bolden making that play on 3rd-and-1. You can't coach that. I mean, this guy's playing man coverage as a – true freshman, they throw a little flat pass. He makes a one-on-one tackle in the open field. Now, I don't know if it had been reviewed or not. It was close to being the first down, but just to be able to be around the ball like that, make that play, very impressive, very impressive. And then the play that Michael Williams made, I mean, you can't just the fact that he was able to knock the ball down and then catch it, knock it up in the air. But some people mentioned about some of the tip passes. Part of that is knowing the scheme, and you see you're getting double teamed or you see a guy's chipping down on you, and you're taught to not rush and then get your hands up. You know, so that knowledge helped them knock down some passes, you know, more than normal, because people that might be concerned about that, another team won't have that recognition of our protections like that. I mean, they can scout us and all, but we can run some other things on them. So I'm not worried about that.
That was in my list of concerns. So I appreciate you addressing that. And I thought K.J. Bolden, that third down stop was big. And I saw him going against a tight end, big tight end, tackles him in the open field. To your point about getting stuff in the open field and seeing how those guys tackle, K.J. Bolden, who should be going to prom. Actually, I think he just did go to prom. But he's, you know, he's not even a – freshman. He's still a high school kid, you know, but he's at Georgia. To your point, he had to take on those tight ends ain't small, and he dropped them in the open field.
All spring of meeting the challenge. And here's the one good thing, that now that most of the people that are watching this have cut it on, and they wouldn't have missed this if they didn't cut it on and heard it at the first of the show and they were too late getting in here. Let me point something out. Our two best defensive players weren't on the field. Small Munden and Malachi Starks. Good. So you add those two to the mix, and there's a lot of people could say there's other people might be better players overall. But when you look at preseason All-American or preseason All-Conference, you're going to have those two along with, you know, more than likely Mykel Williams on defense and maybe a couple others. But you had those two, not only from a skill level, but a leadership and a football acumen and just being around and knowing what to do in critical situations. And I tell you, Small just deserves a lot of credit for playing with his injury last year. I don't know many people that could have even walked with that injury, much less played football. And it hampered him some, but I guarantee you, he will be a whirling dervish of linebacker play this year. And I was glad, really, that Malachi didn't practice because, you know, like I said about Bowers that year, hey, I'm okay as long as we can get to the first game. But he was good to help these other kids learn what to do. We were able to get a lot of reps for some guys that maybe might not have gotten it. Not just the first team guys, but when you have one guy out, then the third guy gets to go with the second team and the second guy gets to go with the first. So I've always felt like you're going to play better with the better players because they're not going to expose you and put you in a position that you would if you're playing with lesser guys. They're going to execute their assignments and all you got to do is play your role.
Yeah, Roddy, to your point, you talk about what your superstars can do. You saw that crazy play Mykel Williams had. He taps, knocks the ball to himself. He throws down Roderick Robinson like he was a four-year-old. Now, he threw him for a first down, but he just grabbed him and stopped him. He had two batted passes. I mean, that's Mykel doing his thing. Carson Beck with that throw to the field on the sideline pass to Ra-Ra. Ridiculous throw. C.J. Allen with the interception there. And
that was good coverage, smart coverage.
Yeah, but I was thinking about when you said that how did Smile Munden play last year with that injury? Jalen Walker was injured, and he saw his position mate play busted up, and Jalen Walker's like, I got a bad ankle. Kirby said, look, we're going to keep him out today, but he insisted on going. And I thought Jalen Walker had a hell of a game. He got tackled.
Jalen Walker among the better players in the country when you look at his – productivity and rushing a passer, playing on special teams, and leadership. I mean, he's just standard guy. I mean, everybody knows that he's going to give you your best shot every play.
He also batted down a pass at a stop of the line of scrimmage, so I thought he's pretty strong there too. We got a lot more to talk about on G-Day and a lot of newcomers. I got to ask you about some of these wide receivers and such. But first and foremost, I got to tell folks about our friends at Athens Ford. Just like there's new players on the Georgia roster, there are always new deals at AthensFord.com. Go to their website, hit on new specials. They also have used specials as well. So you check them out whenever you get a chance. Just go to their website. Or, hey, if you feel like a great trip, swing, go out to the dealership itself. But you can get the 2023 Ford Explorer for $8,000 off. Get the 2024 Ford Expedition for $5,000 off. If you want to go with that Explorer, you can – if you don't want the $8,000 off, you can do the 0% financing for 60 months for qualified buyers. If you want to get the 2024 Ford Expedition, instead of getting the $5,000 off, you can get 3.9% APR for 60 months. So they have some really good deals on last year's models, this year's models, even that 2023 Ford Mustang, the Mach-E, heard great reviews on how that car drives. That one, you can get it all for, you can get it for $10,000 off MSRP and only $3.99 a month. So a lot of great deals out there at Athens Ford. Check them out when you get the chance. And today, it's a little early. It's like 12:24. You still have time to order lunch from EuroPie. If you do it today, we always talk about Double Points Tuesday. Today is Triple Points Tuesday, and especially because this is their 16-year anniversary. So EuroPie has been around a long time. Drew and Natalie French, they were out in Ischia, Italy. They came up with the concept there. They brought it back here, opened their first one 16 years ago. So this is their anniversary celebration, and you will get triple points if you order anything on their app today. So hit up Your Pie. It's obviously a proven concept, 70 locations. People love it. People go there all the time and you get a lot of free stuff. So hit them up.
Roddy, it's interesting that your observation on KJ Bolden was look at how he can match up with Georgia's tight ends. Look at just to be able as a freshman to come in and play with those grown men, because my observation went to the opposite side of he's running with Anthony Evans out there. And that's one of Georgia's best speedsters. And yeah, so that versatility.
Yeah, burned.
He did. Well, if he plays the ball a little bit better, it's more of a turnaround.
Oh, you're right. Better. I'm just teasing him because he would tease me right back. He's a funny kid.
But the versatility is what you look. I mean, Malachi Starks can do this too. Can you get down and play in the box as a safety? And then can you run down the field 40 yards with a speedy wide receiver? And it looks like KJ Bolden, as a true freshman, passes all those tests of what you can do. Now, he still has to have the experience and know the system and be able to read players and do other preparation, all of those things that make you a college football player, future professional. But, man, all the tools are there with that guy. It makes sense why Georgia wanted him as badly as they did.
No, absolutely. I mean, that was Kirby's response to missing on Caleb Downs. Like, I can't let another. It's just like we talk about, you know, trying to go after Juju Lewis. You can't let a Trevor Lawrence leave the state. You can't let a Justin Fields leave the state. You can't let, you know, a Deshaun Watson leave the state. If you've got a major quarterback guy, you got to go get him. Well, same with a star safety, you know. Same with a Justice Terry or Elijah Griffin, you know, star defensive tackles. You have to go get those best players. And you saw in just a few days after, or a few weeks after the kid signs, I thought KJ Bolden had a great day. Yeah, I mean, Anthony Evans, he's going to get you on a few of them. He's going to burn a lot of people. And that's ideally not who you want covering him. But I thought KJ had a big day. And if you can, like to your point, if you can run with Anthony Evans and you can tackle, you know, a Jaden Riddell or a Heinrich, you know, or a Lawson Lucky, man, you're going to have a great safety room. Coach, I want to ask you this. I thought that we're talking about inside linebackers before we went into the break there with Smile Munda being out, Jalen Walker doing his thing, C.J. Allen getting an interception. Chris Cole almost had a pick six.
Chris Cole, I mean, he's a stallion. I mean, number one backer in the country coming in here. Justin Williams, is he 19?
It's, pretty sure he is, but let me double check. Justin Williams, yeah, 19.
I mean, come on, that guy there. I mean, both these guys really play. And, of course, you add number five in there. What a player he is, Wilson. What's number
five? Five is Wilson.
Yeah.
And Troy Bowles is zero.
Yeah, and then you add Foster's a good linebacker. We got a linebacker. Unreal, but. It's just a case, and the one thing about Bolden that more than likely he won't be lined up man coverage on a receiver like that in our scheme. It was just such that they had a formation that started out the game that he ended up being there when he had a pressure on, and he more than likely he'd be a three deep safety or two deep safety. It's gonna be more of his scheme. A lot like Bullard and those guys. But the fact that he can play enough man coverage early is just going to enhance it, kind of like Malachi. I mean, Malachi can play star. I mean, he can play nickel. He can do a lot of things. And very similar skill set starting out that Malachi had here as a freshman working in the fall, you know, going into fall camp.
I want to talk about a couple just touch on three guys really quickly, Coach, who are not so much newcomers, but they're new to the fan base, if you will. And in my notes here, I've got, we talked about Trey Bowles. Kirby said that he needs to get better, but you know, I thought it was interesting. He said, look, I hold him to a higher standard because he's a coach's son. And the other guys that came into the class had a spring on him that he didn't get, but he's got to get better. And I'm holding him to a high standard, but I thought Trey Bowles had a good day. And then Kyron Jones and Janelle Aguaro both had pass breakups. So, and Gabe Harris had a huge day as well. So names we haven't talked about a whole lot, but man, they flashed yesterday or on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm high on Aguero. I think his run stopping ability, special teams, he'll get continue to improve as a pass cover guy, a lot like Tyke Smith did. Jones has got really good speed for a guy his size, you know, and I think you're going to get some pass. You should get some pass breakups as much as we threw the ball and some but I'm not being taken away from it. But, you know, one of the things we talk about on our show, whether it's a watch along show or this, is there's one thing to be, you know, hey, well, we got a pretty good pass defense. Well, what are we doing as far as knocking balls down? How do we play the ball in the air when we got a chance to make an interception? Like Bullard a couple times last year was coming off the hash and caught the ball 1 foot from the sideline instead of the other team having the ball, you know, for another snap. You've taken it away from them. You know, when you got a chance to make an interception, you got to do it. And you got to be around when you're around the ball, defend the guy and don't let him, you know, say, hey, he was all over him. What difference does it make if the guy catches it? So you got to learn how to play the ball in the air. And just like you teach receivers to know where the ball's coming from, when you turn your head around, it's different for a defensive back. They're not used to the protection and where the quarterback's going to be. And they got to learn how to control their head and eyes and use that effectively and locate the ball and then use the proper hand placement to maybe get some of these interceptions.
All right. You sound just like Kirby Smart.
He knows a lot more about the defensive part of that than I do. But
to your point, he actually said, hey, I expect more from the secondary. And we got to win more of these 50-50 balls.
I mean, I agree. I mean, you got to get off the field. I mean, you don't want to get off the field when they're kicking an extra point.
You mentioned you're talking defense. Let's talk offense. Flip back to the offense. I thought Colby Young had a pretty good day. And that
I think
even a 50-50 ball, he kind of went up and just grabbed a touchdown.
The first thing about him, if you just watch the tape of his skill set at Miami, I mean, he not only caught the ball, but he caught him for touchdowns and for big plays on third down and explosive plays, which if you're going to win games on a national level and win big games, you're not going to win at making first downs, and you got to make some big plays because these defensive players are just going to stop you. I mean, they got too much talent. So, again, when you got a chance to make a big play, you got to do it a lot like Dylan Bell has done, so whoever it might be. But he gives you a guy on the outside that's explosive, that can go up and get it. And you got a guy that's probably as good as I've seen around here throwing the ball in a hole. By that, a hole, I'm talking about in between the safeties and the corners or whatever it might be in the zone or laying it out there. Carson's unbelievable from the standpoint of the velocity that he can get the ball there where it's hard for the defender to get around and make the play because the offensive guy knows where he's going and the defensive guy doesn't. So that's why you see so many good back shoulder throws. So I can just see with Ra-Ra, they've changed numbers now. They're trying to screw with this old man. But Ra-Ra now is number 9, and Young's number 8, Evans is number 5. So, you know, all that stuff's changed around. But I can see Ra-Ra, Bell, and Colby Young in the red zone on the perimeter outside being very difficult to defend. And then you put our slot guys in there running crossing routes and doing a lot of the stuff like we had with Ladd last year. That's going to be hard. And then you put Delp and Lucky on top of it. Hard to defend. And people say, well, why are you throwing the ball down there? Hey, it's a lot easier to throw it in there than it is to run it when they're lined up to stop the run. So I always look at it like this, an offensive coach. They said, well, man, they really lined up tight. No, hey, what did you come to school for? If you know that you're going to get a guy bump and run on the 4-yard line, if you can't whip his ass like, hey, you don't need to be out there. You ought to be licking your chops instead of saying, okay, I got to block this guy. Okay, what's the deal? Hey, that's part of your job, but I'm here to be a wide receiver. I got one-on-one on the goal line of Sanford Stadium, 92,000 people, and the game's on the line. I want the damn ball.
Yeah, hey, watch this. I'm going to run this dig route, and I'm going to be wide-ass open because I'm going to shove this guy so hard and spin him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love that. And I like the way we attack inside the red zone and throw it. You know, obviously we had Bowers and McConkey last year doing that. Now we'll have Delp. And you know, what a great game we had from the Missouri, you know, transfer. How much he's improved. Dominic Lovett, I mean, he's a special player. I mean, just unreal.
And, Coach, I know it's a stacked depth chart, but I enjoyed seeing Sakovia White and Nitro Tuckle out there at G-Day. That's one of the beauties of it.
Both those guys, when you had those two, and then Evans has really got a little juice to him as far as wiggle. And we haven't talked about DeMello Jones. What an athlete he is as a corner. I mean, we're going to start talking about these corners. I just go to sleep every night saying, please don't put one of them in a transfer portal. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but there's some good competition there. Those guys are really, really athletic and got length, and they got some good experience. And then we've talked about it, KJ, but we got to talk about Robinson. I mean, this guy, man, it'll be hard to keep him off the field.
Number one in the program, number one in your hearts, Ellis Robinson, number one cornerback in the country. I have heard great things about him all camp. Just ridiculous. I do want to touch on something that Dane said, talking about Sakovia White and Nitro Tuggle. I thought that we saw a good preview of the future. Gunnar Stockton hits Nitro Tuggle with a long pass. Just a great throw, great catch. And either the next play or a couple plays later, he throws to Sakovia White, who puts on a move on the outside, and Nitro Tuggle lays somebody out blocking downfield to score Sakovia White. I'm thinking, those two guys. And then we saw Sakovia White on pretty sure he had a kick return or at least an attempt at one. Special teams look good, but again, give me Gunnar Stockton, Sakovia White, Nitro Tuggle together. That looked like a nice little 1-2 punch there on the right-hand side.
For sure. They're going to be good potential there. But and that's what's great about having these young guys come in January and give them a chance to know what they can do and set the standards. Now they can help you in the fall if you get some injuries or whatever it might be. But another point that just a little thing watching the game, you know, we kick off and the ball goes in the end zone. And what happens? Everybody just lets up and, you know, you bring the ball out. We don't do that. We kick it off in the end zone, and our players know that the coach is down there, and he's going to hand it to the receiver and make you cover and make you block so it's not a playoff. So there's another rep that Kirby and Coach Benedict and the special teams coach have had a chance to evaluate like it was a regular kick. And from the standpoint of you got to bring it out and you got to cover it. And the same thing on punts. We did misjudge a punt one time, but that's a good coaching point. But that little thing there, just to me, is another way that you can evaluate how these guys do on tape. And because you don't want to find out a guy can't tackle when the band's playing on a kickoff coverage because, you know, you hadn't practiced that as much as you need to. So I thought that was a good point to see that happen.
I like that. They use every opportunity to do some evaluations, but without giving anything away. Very vanilla game, as you predicted, but they hand the ball off to Ra-Ra Thomas on a kick return, and he took off like a shot. Now I'm thinking Anthony Evans is going to be a returner. Ra-Ra is like, can't catch me.
Don't forget Bell.
Yeah, Dylan Bell. But to your point, when you have a logjam, we're talking about all the guys at the inside linebacker spot. It's just so many good, talented players, all the cornerbacks, and I'm going to ask you about them in a second, you know, that Georgia has kind of the fights there. You've got a plethora of guys who could be returned, you know, do kick returns for you. Sakovia White, we just mentioned, Bell,
Evans.
Heck yeah, London Humphreys. There's a lot of guys who can do it. You got to take every opportunity possible to find out who's the guy.
Yeah, you also got two guys in Bolden and Malachi Starks I don't know if you'd take a chance on them doing it, worry about them getting hurt or something, but both of them are really good at it. Both of them played both ways in high school and have some elite skill level there. So, but Evan showed what he could do against Alabama with that punt return. And the one thing that's, if everything's equal with our team and somebody else, I think our special teams really are separate from other teams with Thorson and Woodring and as our kickers and our returners and the guys we got. We got some of the best gunners in America and Lovett and Arian Smith on covering kicks. And we got to replace our deep snapper, but probably going to go pro. But other than that, we got a snapper, holder, back to back. So we'll be we did lose our snapper, but we'll be okay. Yeah,
I'm still mad at Kirby, though, for not going for two at the end. But yeah, he had a perfect rationale. He's like, look, we're not going to put that on tape.
Everybody got to eat. Same thing.
Speaking of eating good stuff, when you get a chance, I want you to go out to Academia Brewing Company. We talk about the fact they have great beer. They have that new Los Pantalones beer, the Mexican beer that's I've heard some really good reviews on. I haven't had a chance to get out there. I've been traveling too much. But if you want a good restaurant review, and we'll have people come in and say, look, I'm coming in for G-Day. I'm coming in for graduations coming up. So I'm coming into Athens, you know, just to take the family back to Athens. We haven't been there in a while. Where do you recommend eating? And I can give them a few recommendations, but I always add Academia Brewing Company. It's not because they're just a sponsor of the show. I mean, Matt Casey is a great friend, a great sponsor of what we do, but it's just a great place to send a bunch of people to eat because the menu is fantastic. The options are so varied. If you have somebody who's a finicky eater, they're going to find something on there that they like. So somebody's in the mood for pizza, they got flatbreads. Somebody wants barbecue, they have great pulled barbecue sandwiches. There's, you know, they have great salads. And of course, there's great drinks, there's great beer. But I'm just telling you, for a great restaurant, try Academia Brewing Company. It says Brewing Company in the name. And so a lot of people think, oh, I don't know if I want to eat there. Because most brewing companies, if you go on a brew tour, you get some peanuts at the end or some crackers or something. No, this is an actual restaurant. It would be killing it as a standalone restaurant. But just also happens to be one of the best breweries in the area. So check them out when you get a chance. And if you're thinking about, starting your own brewery or starting your own Europie or something like that, you need help. You need somebody to kind of walk you through opening a business. And what I tell people is, look, there's a guy out there that has about 3,000 different franchise options for you. And his name is Andy Ludecky. He runs a website called MyPerfectFranchise.net. Email him, you text him, you send him a smoke signal. He will get you in. He'll ask you a bunch of questions, and then he can get you into the right franchise, depending on how much time you have, how much money you have, what do you want to get out of it. This was a guy who was in the rat race, and he started opening his own franchises. He's been through it multiple times with multiple different partners, and he has gotten a lot of our readers into owning their own businesses. So if you're tired of working for somebody else, you're tired of signing the back of the check, and you want to be the guy who signs the front, reach out to Andy Ludecky, and he will get you there. I promise you.
Coach, you've been giving us a heads up on what's coming just in the portal around the country, and then it will affect Georgia too. I thought it was interesting that Gunnar Stockton, after the game, said that Kirby Smart had already told him that he likes to have the four scholarship quarterbacks. We've heard Kirby say that before. But I'm just in terms of bringing in another player into that room, when you have an established starter in Carson Beck, you have a backup who's taken a ton of reps, especially with Puglisi's injury this spring. How do you do that and not disrupt the flow of that room?
Yeah, I think Gunnar was alluding to was when we recruited that kid from Las Vegas that was coming here, and Kirby told him about we're going to bring a fourth quarterback in. And as to whether we are now, I don't know. I haven't heard that. But anybody that's watching this show, just make sure you remember these two words, Ryan Puglisi. Let me just tell you what that guy, I hate that he had an injury. I think Roddy mentioned something about that it maybe had some kind of stress fracture or something. But this guy's got, I mean, he's got Carson Beck type arm, and maybe a little bit more mobility, not quite as big, but Well, we're in good shape with that guy now. He's going to – and he got a lot of reps this spring until he got hurt, and then he's going to have – be ready here probably by the 1st of June, hopefully. But I don't know what it would take for a freshman for a transfer to come in here. You're going to have to really smooth them. What's the fact you got a chance to play, be on the Georgia team? Or, hey, we don't have any experience behind our number one guy. Maybe you can win the job, or who knows what it would take. But
he's going to have stones to come to Georgia.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just either that or just I'm
glutton for punishment.
But, you know, you can't have too many guys because you get somebody hurt and you need another arm for doing all these drills, and you need another arm for a scout team and to do – two practices at once, and two fields at once. But I just don't know. We'll see. I mean, I can't wait to read about who it is, we got somebody coming in.
Well, we should note there is a preferred walk-on quarterback already set to come to Georgia from Perry. So that's one arm that'll be in the room.
One guy that was playing, we didn't see him much the other day, but I saw him a couple times this spring. He can throw. I mean, 25 or 26. I don't know what his – I can't remember his name. But
Sam Bush was one of them.
And Sam Bush is good from right here in Athens. And then there's another guy from Texas, quarterback.
Oh, yeah, the Drew kid.
Tony Romo.
Colin Drake.
Yeah, Colin Drake. You didn't catch a joke, Tony Romo.
Why do I have you on the show? I give compliments, and all I get is abuse.
Are we ready for questions from UGA Sports, or you have something else ready?
No, I got some. Yeah, go ahead and bring up the questions. Let's pepper Coach. Let's see if we can stump the coach.
Let's go with Big Old Dog. He says, what are the top areas of need for the spring portal window for Kirby Smart, and why would that be an area of need?
Good question. I would answer that. There is a paradox here. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on who leaves and how you supplement that position with somebody else, and injuries. There might be somebody that's hurt worse than we think, that we don't know about, that you've got to bring somebody in, or this, that magical call where somebody calls and you say, are you serious? This guy wants to come here. And you got to look at him, you know. I mean, you can't turn down a great player. So, as far as any needs, I don't feel like we're listening to some of these people. We need a D lineman. I don't think we do. I just see all these young guys, Kristen Miller, Hall, and we saw the kid from South Carolina looking good. We talked about 99. I feel good about our D line, and I feel even better about him knowing the linebackers behind them. And even better, knowing that we got the perimeter people to help them, where they're not just out there getting exposed because we can't get off the field. I mean, I think I feel good about them. And O-line, you know, our first 10 guys, I feel good about. So receiver, I mean, it'd be hard to get a receiver. Now we've already got three transfer receivers, one transfer tight end that will be in here pretty soon. From Stanford, running back. I don't know how you get a running back with these three guys coming in that we already got.
But maybe a tight end?
Another tight end?
Yeah.
Beside the Stanford guy?
Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of really right off the bat.
Yeah.
I'm with you. When we talk about the defensive line.
Tight end. Got those two guys committed. They're just Barber and that kid from down at
Kansas. Miles Williams. Yeah. I'm thinking to your point about the defense. Anytime someone mentions the portal, I think Georgia needs a defensive lineman. You know, and of course, I'm thinking when I think defensive lineman, I think I want to, you know, Devontae White. I want a Jordan Davis. You know, but those guys really aren't in the portal. To your point, when you saw Gabe Harris have a really big day, Kirby Smart just gushed about him. Sam Mpemba had a good day. Damon Wilson's doing his thing, and Mikel Williams standing up. I don't know. I just feel like that is a difference maker. He was
no doubt.
So solid. and Christian Miller and Jamal Jarrett, Jordan Hall. Kirby was asked about this, and you know he had the opportunity to say yes, we'll look into the portal, or like he said to the secondary, he says I'm expecting more out of the secondary. What did he say about his defensive line? I wouldn't trade him for anybody in the country.
I just think Jamal, he looks like he's been to one of those California farms to lose weight. I mean, this guy,
he does look good.
He looks good. I mean, he's always been massive, but just very.
Christian Miller is a star in the making, and you know how good Jordan Hall is.
I can't say spelt, but those three guys, good. They're good.
This question from Billy Zane. Hey, Coach, even though Georgia doesn't have some of his favorite superstars on offense anymore, Billy is more bullish about the offense than ever. As a coach, can you speak to the difference between having a couple of dominating offensive players versus having a whole lot of just really good players all over the place?
Well, Billy always has some good questions, and he makes me think a little bit too much. But I will agree with him that, you know, we've got the potential to be really good. I would disagree that we've got a couple potential superstars in the fact that ETN, these guys on the perimeter, but they don't catch as many numbers, but they're really hard to cover, and they're going to get drafted. And then Ernest Green at left tackle, I mean, got to be top three in the country. So we got some really stallion guys out there that could play for anybody in the country. And you got a really good offensive coach that knows how to attack people, as a veteran coach in the league, and got a good support staff with the assistant coaches around him. So I feel like this offense is going to be really good.
Two questions from Bulldog Ice. One, how is Jake Pope doing, the Alabama transfer safety? And then also, what would you do to tweak the transfer and NIL situation at this point in the season of college football, the spring transfer window?
Well, Jake definitely got some very good knowledge of the system coming in here, not only knowing the defense that we run, having run it at Alabama, but also having the coach that coached him at Alabama, now his position coach, Coach Tavares Robinson, T-Rob. So that's a definite plus. He knows what's expected of him from him, and also the defense. And he got a lot of reps knowing that, you know, we had some injured guys back there, in particular Malachi. So he's really good on special teams and a good lick for us to get. As far as what would I do, you know, first of all, I'd eliminate the fact that you could have two different ways to transfer, like after January and after April. I just think you should have one time and that's it. And that way you know what your roster is. We don't know what our roster is going to be right now until, you know, probably August 1st. So I'd like to eliminate that. And then NIL, I'd like to see a more consistent deal where you have I guess the best way to say it would be a rate structure where, you know, this is what you can get based on your year in school and all that. But I don't know if that's going to come. But hopefully they're saying that two things. One, that you're going to start getting some money from the school that they get for TV. And number two, the school can actually set deals up for you through their sponsors, and then you've got to go on and do it yourself. But the school's going to be able to do that. That's supposed to be coming out sometime in May. Hopefully that'll be able to help them a little bit too. For instance, you say we got Coca-Cola, we got all these people, but the players don't know how to market themselves, and the people at marketing don't know how to get directly to the players. Well, we got people that are in marketing that at Georgia that can maybe set these deals up and let the kids get them.
From Dogs 1997, when you played Augusta National, what's the highest number of putts that it took you to hole out?
Hey, there's a difference between the difference between exposure and being exposed. Hey, that is really unbelievable question to ask me. I tell you, one of the best things you can ever have anybody say to you at Augusta on a putt That's good. Somebody give you a putt at Augusta, you take it. I don't care how short it is, you take it. But the group I was playing in, they wouldn't give you a putt if it's the last thing, you know. But I definitely hit a couple across the green. But every time I watch it, though, if you just look at hole number 15 and you see the difference behind 15 and over there to 16 and people hitting it over the green, I hit it over the green and the pin was up at the top of the green as you come across the pond. And I chipped it into the bank and knocked it in the hole.
Look at you.
And every time I see that, I text somebody, you see where that guy is? I knocked it in from there. That was one of the luckiest shots ever. And then number nine, I was behind the hole up at the top, and the pin was about in the middle. And my caddy, I said, what do you want me to do here? I said, how do you read it? He said, Coach, I'm just going to tell you, you've got to hit this putt 1 inch. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you hit it more than 1 inch, it's going to roll down there in the fairway. So I said, so I barely got to touch it, right? He said, you can't even touch it. And so I mean, it was downhill, man, and I just barely hit it. And luckily it hit the flag and went in for a par. But those were two of my best shots there. And then number 12, the problem I had the first time I ever played it, the three guys that I played with all hit it in the water. And I'm sitting up there on the green with about a 12-foot putt for a birdie. I'm thinking I'm a birdie number 12 at Augusta. It took them about 20 minutes to get on the green because they're all so bad and hitting these provisional balls. And finally, I rattled it around and got it. But those are some memories for me.
Let's get to some questions from YouTube and Facebook. James Carraway, I'd love to hear Coach's thoughts about Ohio State playing tag football and Ole Miss having a hot dog eating contest for the spring game. I guess there's a reason Georgia's more physical.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about it. If you got guys hurt and you've had a good, productive spring, there's no need to go out there just for the fans, even though the fans deserve it, and try to have a scrimmage against each other when you don't have enough players and somebody else gets hurt. So a lot of teams do what they call thud in spring, where you just go out there and you simulate a game, but you don't put them on the ground. So that's what he's talking about. And then as far as the hot dog eating contest, I don't really know what – you never know what Lane Kiffin's doing, but he's definitely getting him a team, and they're talking about going after some more transfers. So, you know, it's a good way to market your program, I guess.
Phil Rogers wants to know, after spring, is there anybody that makes your mouth water?
On our team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I'd hate to start and miss somebody. But, of course, Carson Beck, more and more, it just shows you every day what a tremendous talent he is. Michael Williams, Malachi Starks, Smile Munden, Ernest Green. So those are five.
Do you see Micah Morris playing left tackle?
Micah Morris can play quarterback. I mean, he's got to play anywhere. He can move around. He's good.
Right? I thought that was good. And also, you talked about Jared Wilson, the center. Saw him pulling.
He's the fastest center probably I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy that can run like that playing center.
When we were talking about Chris Cole, Goat Dog had a comment that he's got that Scottie Pippen wingspan.
He definitely does. Got long arms and can really move his feet. And he's going to grow so much. I just marvel at the job that Scott Sinclair, you know, you see these guys come in here in January and then you hardly recognize them. Not so much the bigger guys, but the ones that are just have the frame and they're going to – and they fill out and the defensive backs get stronger. I remember when I first started coaching, they were talking about a weight program and everything, and guy said, hey, where's going to help you? These defensive backs, they got to tackle people. They're going to get stronger, and they need that. They need to get that girth and everything. And, that was a long time ago, and it's really worked out good.
Scott Sinclair has made kickers at Georgia vascular and, you know, like poster boys.
Right. They look.
Hell, he had Hot Rod looking all yoked out, you know, and I'm like, that nerdy kicker looks like he could kick somebody's ass.
Yeah, you like that.
He's good.
That's all the questions we have from Facebook, YouTube, UGASports.com. Coach, do you have a joke for us?
Yeah, it went by fast. You know, I got two jokes. This one old farmer, I mean, redneck guy was out driving, and the policeman stopped him, and he said, "Sir, can I see your registration and license?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I just want to tell you, you fit the description of a suspect we're looking for." He said, "I need to ask you a question." He said, "Where were you between 5 and 6? He said, "Kindergarten." So, this other one is, this guy went to the doctor, and he said, "You know, I can't stop singing the green, green grass of home. No matter what, I just can't stop singing." He said, "Well, you got the Tom Jones syndrome." He said, "Is that common?" He said, "It's not unusual."
Stop the show.
See, I always think of Fresh Prince with the Carlton dance when I hear it's not unusual.
Got me with I had
one more, but I think it might be a little too raunchy. So
we'll wait for a nighttime.
We'll hold the raunchy one for next week.
Hey, well, appreciate all the questions, and there'll be a lot to be, you know, everybody. I just want to take up for these players everywhere around the country, because, you know, we're living in America, and you're looking at, you certainly have teams, and guys need to be selfish and, I mean, team oriented and all, but a lot of these kids come from areas, they, you know, this is a chance for their family. And you can't blame them if people make offers to them to do that they can better themselves. I mean, it's hard, but that's just the way it is. And the coaches, Coach Smart, all these guys, they've got to look at who they have, how it's going to distribute and divide maybe your room from the standpoint of this guy getting this and all that. And it's a tough balancing act, and it's hard to do. I don't envy them doing it. Tough.
Yeah, it's a new world. To your point, you've had 22 transfers. By the time everything's over, Georgia could have maybe upwards of 30. But
four of them have been walk-ons. But
yeah, I mean, but again, the walk-ons help; they contribute
exactly. And I'm happy these guys that hadn't played, they get on Twitter and all that, and you read about them, and people say, "Hey, how did we lose this guy?" And you know. I was asking Dane about a guy. I said, "I don't even know who that guy is."
I mean, it happens, but to your point, I have faith in Kirby. And I mean, I hate to sound like a biased journalist, but just based on the objective results that he has had when it comes to roster management, he's going to come out on top. And the fact that you saw Colby Young catching passes, London Humphreys catching passes, Michael Jackson doing his thing, Dom Lovett was lights out in that scrimmage. Ra-Ra Thomas doing his thing. Xavier McLeod, we just touched on him. He had a sack. I think he might have had two. If you're going to put a system in place where Kirby can lose players but also gain players, I'm going to put money on Kirby to wind up with a better roster than anybody else in the country.
Right. And the one saving grace is if you do lose a guy, there's a good chance maybe – you might get somebody even better in the portal. I mean, it's the way it happens.
And the recruiting class. We can talk about this next week. Some of the young kids we saw this who are committed to Georgia. We saw a bunch of them this past weekend. And next Sunday, this coming Sunday, there'll be the Rivals camp in Atlanta. And it's just exclusive camp. Only Rivals sites can go to it. There'll be a lot of top players there. And some of them will be committed to Georgia. And we will have an update on some of those guys. And we'll get coaches' thoughts on the future. We talked about newcomers. We'll talk about even more newcomers next week. And
I'll tell you one thing that guy asked about what made my mouth water. That kid from Nashville that's committed to us, the Curtis kid, the quarterback. God. Now he makes my mouth water.
Jared Curtis. Jesus.
He makes it Niagara Falls.
Same. And we got a front page story on Jared Curtis with the highlights from Sunday's.
Is there any way he can reclassify?
Oh, he probably could. He's a bright kid.
Bring him on.
Dream on. All right, folks. That's all the time we have for this week. We will see you next Tuesday. Take care.